Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Vamanadeva will first occupy the three worlds with one step. Then he will take his second step and occupy everything in outer space. And then he will expand his universal body to occupy everything. Where will you offer him the third step? Purport. Shukracharya wanted to tell Bali Maharaj how he would be cheated by Lord Vamana. "You have promised three steps," he said. "But with only two steps, all your possessions will be finished. How then will you give him a place for his third step?" Shukracharya did not know how the Lord protects his devotee. The devotee must risk everything in his possession for the service of the Lord. But he is always protected and never defeated. By materialistic calculations, Shukracharya thought that Bali Maharaj would under no circumstances be able to keep his promise to the brahmachari Lord Vamanadeva. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Dardha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we see here a peculiar episode. The spiritual master of Bali Maharaj is trying to prevent him from surrendering to Krishna. The guru is supposed to encourage one to surrender everything to Krishna. But here is something that appears very strange, because Shukracharya, the guru of Bali Maharaj, is warning Bali Maharaj, "Look, you've given this promise, but don't consummate it, don't finish it now. There's still some rituals left before your promise can be fulfilled. So don't do this, because this Brahmin boy is none other than Lord Vishnu. He has come here in disguise, and his purpose is to take everything away from you, so beware. With his first step, he is going to cover the three worlds. With his second step, he will cover the entire outer space, and there will be no space left in the universe for him to place his third step. What will you do then?" So he is warning his disciple not to surrender everything to Krishna. Therefore, he is not a bona fide spiritual master. And we will see later on that Bali Maharaj actually rejects this instruction of his spiritual master. because Shukracharya is not a Vaishnava. It is only truly speaking a Vaishnava who can be a bona fide spiritual master, because a spiritual master is supposed to bring one to the lotus feet of Krishna so that we can surrender to Krishna and become his pure devotee. But Shukracharya is more interested in karmakanda, in materialistic ways of life. His conception, therefore, is materialistic. Materialistic people, by nature, are very attached to this world and to whatever the world can offer them. Therefore, they do not want to surrender to Krishna, because surrender means that now you will no longer have the opportunity to use things of this world for sense gratification. Surrender means that we have to offer these things to Krishna for his pleasure, for his enjoyment. There are several occasions where people say, well, you know, I understand your philosophy, and it's a nice philosophy, but I don't want to get involved, because it means that I'll have to give up so many things. I like it. I like you people. Everything is good. I like chanting Hare Krishna, etc. But if I come in more intimately to associate with all of you, then I'll have to give up so many things. I don't want to give them up. So people are afraid of surrendering because they feel they're going to lose something very valuable. And therefore, ironically, they praise those who have renounced the world externally. And they say, you people have renounced so much. You've given up this and you've given up that. But the answer is actually that they are the biggest renouncers, because they are renouncing Krishna. Krishna is the sum total of everything. Krishna is the origin of everything and everyone. So if someone is giving up Krishna, then he's giving up everything. Who can be a bigger renouncer than someone who wants to give up Krishna? And as far as the others who are so-called renunciants, what do they have anyway to give up? Nothing belongs to them. Nothing belongs to us. So therefore, where is the question of feeling bad about giving up something that doesn't belong to us in the first place? Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, probably the most important line of the purport, the devotee must risk everything in his possession for the service of the Lord, but he is always protected and never defeated. So yes, we must risk everything in our possession for the service of the Lord. Actually speaking, it is not a risk. Do I take a risk in pledging your property to a money lender? I say, well, I'm pledging such and such person's property. He says, not your property, how can you pledge it? Well, I'm taking the risk of keeping somebody else's money in surety. The risk is his, it's not mine. So to say that I'm taking the risk for somebody else's property is a meaningless statement. Similarly, the property that I think belongs to me doesn't actually belong to me. So where is the risk? So why is Prabhupada using the word risk here? Because we are attached to our possessions and we falsely think they are our possessions. Therefore, we imagine that it is a risk. Actually speaking, the process of surrender merely involves recognizing that these things are not ours, that these things belong to Krishna, and therefore they must be used in Krishna's service. That's really what surrender amounts to in practical terms. And therefore, we act in this world in a detached spirit. Externally, we may have wealth and facilities, or we may not have. But regardless, if one acts in a detached spirit, using everything we have, be it less or be it more, in Krishna's service, then that is the perfection of our life. Srila Prabhupada actually demonstrated by his own personal example in his own life how a devotee actually takes risks. Personally, even as he was approaching old age, he would publish the Back to Godhead magazine, personally go around distributing the Back to Godhead magazine in the streets of Delhi in the middle of summer. He would have to do all the work involved coming from Vrindavan to Delhi, going through the proofs and everything. And on one occasion he was knocked by a cow. A stray cow was wandering around the street, knocked Srila Prabhupada down on the road and he fell down. But that did not deter him from preaching. Similarly, at the age of 69, in frail health, he undertook a very arduous journey by boat, by ship, from Calcutta to America, endured two heart attacks on the way. There was no assurance of what was in store for him when he reached America. And in his famous words, when he reached Boston Airport, he didn't know whether to turn left or turn right. And the risks didn't end there. He continued taking so many risks for Krishna's service. Risks with his own personal health and his life. Risks with his reputation. Risks with everything. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that we must actually learn to take risks for Krishna's service. We must preach. He gave the example then of Lord Nityananda. He said, we must learn to be preachers like Lord Nityananda. Because he was very intelligent, he was expert, and he took risks. He went and preached to Jagai and Madhai, the most hopeless cases in society. They were the most degraded and fallen persons. But Nityananda Prabhu took great risk. Because greater the risk, greater the gain. And because Jagai Madhai was so fallen, when they were transformed, then the impact it had on society was that much greater. And people began to think, even sinful people like Jagai and Madhai were transformed. Therefore this Harinam Sankirtan movement must be really something wonderful. So people became attracted to it. So as a devotee, we encounter in our day-to-day activities, perhaps somebody is out distributing books. Yes, we will face, Srila Prabhupada said, much opposition from people on many occasions. People may behave rudely with us, but we take the risk, Prabhupada says. We still go out and give them books. We give them transcendental knowledge. Actually, this is the pleasure of a devotee. Devotees do not like to take pleasure in the things that the world takes pleasure in. Our standard of pleasure is something different. We take great joy in taking risks to give Krishna to others. Of course, we also have to be careful. One time, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that you say that a devotee is fearless, but why was Prahlad Maharaj fearful of this material world? So Prabhupada replied, no, he was not fearless. He was not fearful. Basically, being fearless doesn't mean that one should be a fool. When one sees danger, then one should recognize that danger exists and one must take precautions. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj could understand that this material world is full of dangers, So he was not fearful for himself, but he was fearful for the people at large. Prabhupada gave the example of a vaccination. When there is an epidemic, then everyone is fearful that he or she may contract the disease. But one who has taken a vaccination is not fearful, because that person is now protected. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada said, one who has devotion for Krishna, one who has strong faith in Krishna, is fearless because that person is protected from the fears and worries of this world. So when we serve Krishna and we take risks of things that are in our possession, we do so because we have faith in Krishna, in Krishna's service, and in Krishna's protection. And even if you lose something, well, what is the loss? Tyaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakvo tapate tato yadi yatrakva va bhadram abhudamushya kim ko vartha aptum bhajatam svadharmatah. Narad Muni tells Vyasadev in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, if somebody takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and somehow or the other, because of immaturity in Krishna consciousness, he falls down. It's not necessary that somebody has to fall down, but yadi, if by chance, due to immaturity, if that devotee falls down, still, what is the loss? On the other hand, if there's someone who's not a devotee of Krishna, is engaging perfectly in his or her worldly responsibilities, what is the gain? Because whatever one has achieved or accomplished on the material platform is perishable. Therefore, even if one does it very perfectly, it's all going to be lost. On the other hand, devotional service to Krishna is absolute. Therefore, it is everlasting. Whatever little devotional service we do will always be to our credit. Neha bhikramanashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that even if we do a little bit of Krishna consciousness, we would be protected from the greatest fear. So therefore, the devotee has nothing to fear. When we are in Krishna consciousness, we are protected by Krishna. We depend on Krishna's protection. We do not depend on our own strength or intelligence and so on. When I first became a brahmachari, I had a group of my old friends who came to me to dissuade me. They said, why are you taking such a risk in your life? You're taking such a plunge. It's a big risk. You're giving up things of this world. And so it was an interesting dialogue. One of them was having a bad patch in his married life. So I said, you took a big risk by getting married? You see, there is risk in everything. There's a risk in getting married. There's a risk in not getting married. This material world is a risky place. There's a risk in everything you do, and there's a risk in even if you don't do that thing. There's a risk in everything you do, and there's a risk in everything you don't do. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. You sit in an aircraft, there's a risk. You don't know whether you're going to reach the destination. You're placing your life in the hands of some people. You drive a car, you're at risk. And there was a time some time ago when there was all these epidemics, swine flu and HIV, or some HNB, some viruses. To breathe, it was risky. So you would see at the airport people going on with these masks, because even breathing was risky. So does it mean because breathing is risky we won't breathe? Does it mean because traveling by air is risky we will never travel by air? Because traveling by car is risky, one may have accidents, so one will never travel by car? No, we will do these things. It's a measured risk. We take the risk because we have faith in something or someone. We have faith in the airline authorities. We have faith in the car we are driving and our ability to drive the car, and we have faith that others will also follow the rules of traffic and will not come and knock into us. So similarly, when we surrender to Krishna, whether we are householders or brahmacharis or sannyasis, doesn't matter. Surrender is a matter of the spirit, of the heart. So when one surrenders to Krishna, one does so based on one's faith in Krishna and Krishna's protection. That is one of the symptoms of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati iti vishvaso goptritve varanam tatha atmanikshepa karpanyam shadvidha sharanagatihi. So in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatan Goswami has presented this verse. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Mahaprabhu talks about it. The six symptoms of surrender. The first symptom is accepting everything that is favorable for Krishna consciousness. The second is rejecting everything that is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. The third is being fully confident of Krishna's protection. Rakshishyati iti vishvaso. Goptritve varanam tatha. Having the firm conviction that Krishna is my maintainer. Atmanikshepa. Understanding that I may desire so many things, but Krishna ultimately will fulfill my desire. I am not independent in fulfilling my own desires. And finally, karpanyam, humility. Dependence on Krishna. So therefore, this faith in the protection of Krishna, this dependence on Krishna, is a symptom of our surrender. That is what enables us to surrender. And for one who surrenders with this strong faith, Krishna gives that protection. In one lecture in 1974, Srila Prabhupada spoke briefly about Sridhar Swami, the legendary, celebrated, original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held in such high esteem. So Sridhar Swami was one time a grihastha as a young man. And his wife was pregnant. He was very desirous of taking sannyas. He was so overwhelmed with his desire for renunciation. But then he held himself back because he thought, my wife is pregnant. I can't leave her at this stage and just go away. Well, how is she going to manage? And then what will the society also say after this? So he said, all right, let me wait till the child is born. After the child is born, then I will take sannyas. So as it happened, by the Lord's will, by the arrangement of providence, that the child was born, but the mother, that is Sridhar Swami's wife, she died during childbirth. So now he was in a real dilemma, because his plan had been that once the child is born, then he would leave. But now the child was born and the mother died. So he had a helpless, newly born child to look after. So what's to be done now? So the fire of renunciation was burning very, very strong within him. At the same time, how could he leave this newborn babe right in front of him and just walk away? At that very moment, a baby lizard fell from the ceiling to the ground. This baby lizard had just been born. And this newly born lizard babe was looking around, a little dazed, looking around as it fell from the ceiling. And right in front of it came an ant. So the lizard opened its mouth, the baby lizard, and swallowed the ant. And here was this devotee, who later became Sridhar Swami, thinking, just see, this baby lizard is born, and Krishna has made arrangements for its maintenance on its own accord. Food came for this baby lizard. The baby lizard didn't go around looking for food. Neither did the baby know that this is my food. Nobody taught this child how to go and eat the food. But everything is done. All the arrangements were made. So when he saw this, he immediately walked up, got up and walked away. Of course, in that lecture, Prabhupada doesn't complete the story. He speaks up to the point when Sridhar Swami walks up and he walks away and takes sannyas. But the story is that this child then is discovered by somebody, a childless couple. And they're very unhappy because they don't have a child after many years of marriage. So they hear this child crying. And the man goes up to investigate what's happened. He sees a child there, helpless, without any shelter or support. He looks around, there's nobody around. So he adopts a child. And later, actually, the child goes on to be a king or something like that. I'm forgetting the story now. So anyway, that's the story, indicating how one can have faith in Krishna. One must, of course, offer a word of caution here. That's not something that we can try to imitate. Of course, one cannot imitate Sridhar Swami, and it would cause, if our Grihastha devotees started doing the same thing, that would cause a huge disturbance, personally in their own spiritual lives, and also in the society of devotees, and also in the society at large. One cannot artificially imitate personalities like Sridhar Swami. So naturally, for a Grihastha, one would expect that he would be very, very responsible in the execution of his household responsibilities in Krishna consciousness. But nevertheless, the point Srila Prabhupada was trying to make when he narrated the story was to illustrate how surrender is based on the principle of faith. Faith in Krishna's protection, and faith that Krishna will maintain and provide for everything we need. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janah paryupasate tesham nitya abhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. This is a famous verse of the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The 22nd verse, Krishna says, for one who is constantly engaged in meditating upon me with devotion, who is constantly absorbed in my service with faith, for him I provide what he lacks and protect what he has. So this is the principle on which devotees of Krishna operate. One time, Srila Prabhupada was speaking to the devotees and he said, you know, I gave up a family. I had many, several children. I gave up my children, and see, Krishna has now provided me thousands of children like you, who are going to look after me so nicely. We see in this world that sometimes children give up their parents and don't look after their parents. So Prabhupada's point was that, yes, I gave up a few children, but now I have children, hundreds and thousands of them, who are willing to do anything to look after me. They're following every word that I'm saying. Many times children don't do what the parent says. But these children, the spiritual children of Prabhupada, were willing to give up their lives for Prabhupada. And it's every word they were willing to follow. And then he gave the example of the little pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan. When the lady fruit seller came, and she was calling out, "Anyone wants to buy fruits?" And she had a basket full of fruit. And then Krishna heard that and he wanted to have some fruit. And those were not the days of pounds, shillings and pence. Those were the days of barter, especially in the rural areas like Vrindavan. So if you had milk, plenty of milk, you would give the milk and take something from somebody in return that you needed. So when Krishna saw this fruit seller coming, he took some grains in his two little palms, and he wanted to go to the fruit seller so he could give this to her and take some fruit in exchange. Of course, because his hands were so tiny and he was walking in a staggered, he was kind of staggering along, he wasn't even able to walk properly. And there were some spaces between his fingers, so finally all the grains practically fell out except a few grains that remained in his palm. And he went up to the fruit seller and offered these grains. And the fruit seller was so charmed by looking at Krishna's face that she didn't really care much about the few grains that Krishna was offering, but she filled Krishna's hands with whatever fruits that he could hold. With great happiness and with great love, this fruit seller offered Krishna fruits. And when she looked down into her basket, lo and behold, she found the basket was full of jewels, precious jewels and rubies and emeralds and so on. So Prabhupada says that one is never the loser when one gives something to Krishna. So these are the two examples Prabhupada gave to illustrate this point, that he gave up his children and Krishna gave him so many more children. And second, that in this fruit seller gave some fruits and she got in return something that was much greater in value. So therefore, when we surrender to Krishna, we offer something to Krishna that we have, we are never the losers. We will always gain. So in this sense, we understand it is never a risk. So Bali Maharaj gave his everything to Krishna. And we will come across this episode later. But he was not the loser. Shukracharya was thinking that his disciple, the king of the universe, would lose everything. But Krishna returned everything to Bali Maharaj. He gave him much more. In fact, he gave him a special place in the lower planet, Sutala Loka. And Krishna personally became his doorkeeper. Krishna became his servant. That is Krishna's greatness, that Krishna becomes so obliged when he sees the surrender and sacrifice of his devotees, that he gives himself up to his devotees. So this is the sum and substance of this verse in the purport, that as devotees we try to offer everything we have to Krishna for his pleasure, and that is our pleasure. And we will never be the loser for it. Bali Maharaj accepted this principle in his life very seriously and overrode the warnings of his guru and went ahead and surrendered to Krishna. And Bali Maharaj is considered the prime example of the principle of Atma Nivedanam, surrender to Krishna. In the 9 processes of devotional service, the 9th one is Atmanivedanam, complete surrender to Krishna. And Bali Maharaj exemplifies that. And his name has been immortalized in history because of this one act of his surrender to Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?